It's time for Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast brought to you by the fan site, taylorswift13.org. Welcome back to episode 9. This is Adam,
Belle,
Jensita,
and Maya.
Now, before we get started, I want to explain something that was being talked about when we released last episode, and that's the subscription process on iTunes. Real quick, so a lot of people were talking like, hey, I'm listening to the new episode of Taylor Talk, and a lot of people were responding, wait, I don't see it in iTunes yet. The reason for that is, those of you who are subscribed will be able to download it as soon as I upload the new episode to our server. That's before it actually appears in iTunes a couple hours later. Those who are downloading them one by one from the iTunes store, you're going to have to wait that couple hours for it to appear in the iTunes store. So, if you want them instantly as soon as I upload them, be sure to subscribe. You can do that from iTunes on your computer only. You cannot subscribe from the iPhone or iPod Touch.
The iPhone and the iPod Touch just aren't cool enough yet to do that.
Yeah, apparently not, but they'll get there one day. So go to your computer and subscribe. Next, fun little thing. We're gonna play a little game, and you guys are all gonna join in, and it'll be awesome. So right now, the top 5 countries for downloads of Taylor Talk, in order, are number 1, Philippines, number 2, Singapore, number 3, China, 4, United States, and 5, Thailand. So, we want to play a game where you're going to try and get your country on top, and then we're going to have fun with it, and we're going to learn your language. So, be sure to tell all your friends to go download Taylor Talk, and if your country is on top for that episode, on the following episode, we're going to learn to say thank you or something similar in your language. So that'll be a fun game. So if you want to hear us say thank you in your language, go tell your friends about us.
And we're sorry in advance if we butcher anything pronunciation-wise, but we're going to try really hard.
Well, that's what's going to make it fun, Belle, is that we're gonna do our best with your native languages. So,
are we doing this every episode?
Oh, yeah.
So
it's going to be glorious.
If the same country's on top for multiple weeks, then they can send us something new to say in their language. I mean, we could be fluent in the Filipino language by next year.
If they stay on top the whole time.
Yeah, if you guys stay on top, Philippines. So everybody in the top 5, you're all really close. If we didn't name your country, tell a lot of friends instead of just a few friends.
Yeah, I got some work to do if we haven't listed your country yet.
Yes. Anyway. So
I'm rooting
now that
for
we
you, Finland.
Now that we moved on, now that we moved on from that game, real quick, we want to learn more about you guys so we can produce a better show for you. So we've got a survey that was created by an external company. We didn't create this survey, and it is attached to taylortalk.org. Now, you may be asking, why would I want to go take this survey? Aside from us being able to provide a better show for you, we're giving away a copy of Beautiful Eyes. Doesn't matter what country you're in, go answer that survey and you are automatically entered for a chance to win a copy of Beautiful Eyes. Just be sure to enter your email address, because that's how we are going to be able to pick a winner, is by a random drawing of email addresses. And please note, we will not use your email for anything except selecting a winner and notifying the winner. That's it. After that point, your email is gone. We don't even keep it on record. All right, so go fill out that survey and potentially win a copy of Beautiful Eyes. So, Maya, if you would love to give us the upcoming calendar, that'd be great.
Sure. So I guess the biggest thing probably is that the Grammy Awards are happening on February 12th. They're going to be aired on CBS at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 o'clock Central Time. And CBS recently released a promo video featuring Taylor and LL Cool J, and I think that has been on TV in a few places, so you'll probably see that if you're watching TV.
And there's also actually 3 of those videos.
There's 3.
They're really funny.
We have them all on taylorswift13.org. However, 2 of them are regionally blocked, which is kind of a bummer, but those are the official CBS ones. So if you're out of the U.S., you can watch one of them. If you're in the U.S., you can watch all 3.
I love the one where Taylor's cleaning the Grammy, and he's like, you know, LL Cool J's like, you missed a spot, and then she's like, fine, and walks away, and he's like...
He said, find out who cleans up at the Grammys, and then he says...
It might not be Taylor Swift, and then in the background you hear her going,
oh, come on. So she goes, come on! on.
Okay, yeah, that was it. Come on.
Next up is that on February 21st, Taylor and Zac Efron are going to be on The Ellen Show together. They're going to be promoting their movie The Lorax, which is going to be in theaters on March 2nd. This still hasn't been posted on Ellen's website, but we will keep you updated about that.
Yeah, just for the record, though, that's also partially because Ellen only updates up to a week in advance. I don't know why.
Right, but we've seen it on a few other sites, so we're pretty sure it's happening. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the next thing is very exciting for those of you in Australia and New Zealand. The Speak Now World Tour is continuing in Perth, Australia, beginning on March 2nd. So you guys are really lucky and have a ton of fun.
Sadly, none of us will be there.
No.
No, but speaking of Australia...
Speaking of Australia, voting for the Country Music Channel Music Awards in Australia is open until February 28th, so Australian fans, go vote. Taylor is up for Video of the Year for Mean and Back to December, and International Artist of the Year, and we want to thank Daniela for emailing that information to us. Belle, why don't you go ahead with the news?
All right, so we have some awesome stuff going on here. Taylor Swift... she actually received 3 Academy of Country Music nominations, so we're really excited about that. She is up for Entertainer of the Year for the 3rd year in a row. Yay!
Yay!
Woohoo! Even my dog is happy right now. She's up for Female Vocalist.
It's actually second time.
Second? No. It's the 3rd time she's been nominated. Second, yeah, she's the reigning winner, though. She won last year. She did not win the first time.
Yeah, this is the 3rd year that she's been nominated.
And then if she wins it, she will be tied with Carrie Underwood for being the only female to have won it twice and twice consecutively.
Huh. Interesting.
Awesome. She is also up for Female Vocalist of the Year for the 5th time. That's really awesome.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah, and Video of the Year for Mean for the 3rd time.
Yay. And Declan tweeted about that too.
Yes, yay. I'm so excited. Declan, yep. Yay. And also the voting for the Entertainer of the Year begins on March 19th at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And it'll continue through the 3rd hour of a live broadcast. So mark your calendars and vote your butts off.
Yes.
Yep.
It's going to air live on April 1st, 2012 at 8 p.m. And a few of us might be there.
Yeah. Who's going to be there?
Me.
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 Maya.
I'm in Boston.
Come on, Maya.
We're all hopping a flight. You can do it, too.
If you think Maya should come join us, I think you should tweet the heck out of her. Just bug her until she comes to Vegas with us. Yeah.
You guys can try.
We'll try really hard.
All right.
Anyway, sorry, we interrupted Belle.
Anyway, so it's going to be delayed on the West Coast unless you have Dish, and then it'll be on early for you. So, yay. Okay, Scott Borchetta and Taylor Swift both made the Billboard Power 100 list. And that's designed to rank those with the most influence in the music industry, so that's awesome. Scott Borchetta came in 54th and Taylor 78th.
So, Scott Borchetta revealed probably the news that every Swiftie has been wondering on their mind, when is Taylor's 4th album going to be released? It is confirmed that it will be released in October of this year, 2012. And Belle was there listening to Scott. What did he have to say?
He was mostly talking about, like, how he began his label, and he was talking about Taylor and when he first met her. And he made some awesome comments about Taylor's upcoming 4th album, including what you just said, that it's going to be released in October. And he said that it's going to be her best album by far, which is amazing, because I can't even imagine albums better than, like, Fearless and Speak Now, and even her first one, Taylor Swift, have all been completely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So if, you know, Scott Borchetta is saying that this album tops them all, it's going to be, like, mind-blowing. And he was saying that it's... going to be different from all of her other 3 albums as well. And that doesn't surprise me because Taylor's an amazing writer and she grows with every album that she makes. So I definitely think that we're in for a lot of treats and surprises with this next album.
And I think I read that it's not actually going to be sounding like Safe and Sound.
Yeah.
I don't know where that got started because I heard people saying that, but I didn't see any source that said that that was, I mean, and he certainly never said that.
To be honest, I think Taylor was at most only a co-writer on Safe and Sound.
She was only a co-writer.
She was a co-writer.
It was her.
Yeah, because that was written for the movie.
It was her and the Civil Wars, and did T-Bone Burnett co-write it also?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I think they just meant the way that she sounded when she was singing it. And that's not necessarily how her fourth album is going to sound, her voice.
Well, I mean, her fourth album is going to be, from what Scott said, it's going to be different in terms of not just different from the other albums, but different within itself. It's the impression mm-hmm. that I got when he was talking. I think that the songs are all going to be different tones and different subjects and different, like, things going on with Taylor.
So there is announced the CMT is hosting something special for Valentine's Day called the Teddy Award. Lauren Elena will be hosting that on February 14th at 8 a.m. Eastern Time and again at 11 a.m. And Taylor is nominated for the most awards with 4. She's nominated for Best Kiss in a Video for You Belong With Me, Best Cheating Video for Picture to Burn, Best Breakup Video for White Horse, and Sweetest Video for Art. And you can go to www.cmt.com/music/events/CMT, and then you'll find the Teddy Awards. So we'll have the link for you up on Adam's website.
TaylorTalk.org.
So today, the 29th, got released the Paula Fernandez video with Taylor Swift, which was featured on the show Fantástico in Brazil for their Long Live video. And it should be available for the full-length video on YouTube tomorrow. And right now we have the clip up, and it will be on the website as well. So you can go there and check that out.
TaylorTalk.org. All right. Thank you, Jensita and Bell and Maya, for news and calendar. So for the first segment today, we want to talk about the Vogue article that just came out. So, I mean, first I want to ask you guys, co-hosts, what were your first thoughts?
I thought that there was a lot of feelings in there. She talked about times of being really, really sad and what she's been going through. And then there was just other times where it was like really funny moments. And then there were sad moments, like when she was going through the actual photo shoot for her different segments of Vogue. And she would just, she would see an outfit and she'd be like, oh, that would look so great on Katy Perry. Oh, that would look so great on Willow Smith. And I just thought it was funny how she was like just name dropping all these people. And she said, you should send that to Pink. She would love it. Like, who else would do something like that? You know what I mean? And I just I was kind of blown away by that.
I think the article spoke a lot to her character. Her as a person. A lot of the content of that article was talking about how she is as a person.
Right. The author of it seemed really impressed and taken in by her. And I think that's a lot of things that people dismiss so easily with her music and how she writes about what she goes through, that people think that she's just, kind of snobby or stuck up. And she's really just this person that has same day, everyday experiences. She just puts them into her music. But she's really just this amazing person with a wonderful heart.
I really enjoyed the interview. I liked how she seemed very grown up, and the guy who was talking to her sort of portrayed her as very normal sort of person, except for the fact that, she was in a car with him going around to different, huge designer studios and, checking out their collections. I love the part when she was talking about, her list of things that guys can do, like the red lights that make her know that she can't date them anymore.
Should we read those?
Yeah, let's read them.
All right, there's 4. So.
And there's 4 of us. That's convenient.
Perfect. First one.
Reverse alphabetical.
Okay. So the first one is, if someone doesn't seem to want to get to know me as a person, but instead seems to kind of have bought into the whole idea of me, and he approves of my Wikipedia page and falls in love based on 0 hours spent with me, that's maybe something to be aware of. That will fade fast. You can't be in love with a Google search. Aww. Adam.
Right?
Adam. I was just going to say
that. Why is everyone pointing that at me? I am not in love with her. I simply have my celebrity crush on her.
Adam, you want to marry her.
Well, that's just what you say about your celebrity crush.
Yeah, sure.
So if the opportunity presented itself, you wouldn't?
Well, you can't say that. If the opportunity presented itself, that would mean that she's in love with me as well, so.
I guess so. I'm just, fair point. Just saying.
Number 2. If a dude...
I love that she used the word dude.
Right. I agree, me too.
If a dude is threatened by the fact that I need security... as in guards, security guards. If they make me feel like I'm some sort of princessy diva, that's a bad sign. I don't have security to make myself look cool or like I have an entourage. I have security because there's a file of stalkers who want to take me home and chain me to a pipe in their basement.
Wow, you read that like a horror story.
It totally is. I want to put ominous music in the background if she's reading that.
Yes!
No, but seriously, like, that's hilarious to read, but at the same time, it's kind of true.
It's kind of freaky to have to be worrying about things like that, like, you know?
That's very freaky.
If Taylor wants another bodyguard, I'm looking for a job or something. No, I'm kidding.
She did say, like...
I would take a bullet for her.
She was asked about, like, you know, all the paparazzi and the pictures and stuff, and she says that it is kind of weird to have people taking your picture all the time, but she just puts her headphones in and walks away and tries not to notice.
Okay, this next one is my personal favorite, because I just have a lot of appreciation for this point of view. If you need to put me down a lot in order to level the playing field or something, if you're threatened by some part of what I do and you want to cut me down in size in order to make it even, that won't work either.
Right.
Oh, I mean, snap.
Adam, did you actually just snap?
Oh, I snapped.
He snapped. He totally snapped. He, like, snap-cupped that one. That was awesome.
I did the loudest snap I could. It was like...
Snaps for Belle!
Alright, so the last one says, "Also, I can't deal with someone who's obsessed with privacy. People kind of care if there are two famous people dating, but no one cares that much. If you care about privacy to the point where we need to dig a tunnel under the restaurant so that we can leave, I can't do that." Hey, I like that one. She says people care if there's two famous people dating. People don't care, apparently, if there's a famous person dating a not famous person.
Oh, no, they can't. Basement.
They care way more about that than they do about two famous people.
Well, Taylor didn't say that, so it can't be true.
It can't.
So, the only things that are true in life are things that Taylor says? Is,
exactly.
Is that how it
works? If Taylor doesn't say it, it's not true.
Okay. Yeah, no, you are not one of those crazy people in the file at all.
But speaking of privacy, that's probably a good segue into Sarah Jaxheimer.
That's what I wanted to talk about.
In which case, I want to say lay off of her, please.
Let me just paint a picture here for every single person listening to this show. I'm sure at some point in your life, whether you are 12, no offense, or 80.
Also no offense.
There has been some point in your life when you were talking to another person and you mentioned a third person. That does not mean that you were talking badly about them or anything else, but you just mentioned them in a conversation. Then a day later or a week later or whatever, someone comes up to you and they're like, "Well, why'd you say this about this person?" And you feel totally blindsided because you're like, "What did I do?" And that's, I feel like, kind of what happened in this situation with Taylor. Because the only thing that she said in the article about this Sarah Jaxheimer person was, "Oh, you know, everybody knows that one girl in junior high, and I was, you know, she had great hair." And suddenly, all these people are like, you know, media and everything, calling her up and trying to get an interview with her and asking her about Taylor. She just dropped a name. That's it. She just dropped a name. She wasn't, like, saying anything bad about her or indicating they had some huge rivalry. Like, sit down, people.
This is what I find interesting, though. I still have not figured out, though, why she mentioned Sarah Jaxheimer. Like, it seems really weird to me because this was a very high-profile article being in Vogue. And it doesn't seem like a typical thing Taylor would have done.
Well, but this is exactly my point. Like, you talk about a person and you mention a name just to try and illustrate a feeling or a point that you're trying to put across without thinking about the fact that somehow people are going to take it and blow it out of proportion. And we all experience that in our lives, but for somebody in Taylor's position, that's like 200 times as true. And this is probably also a good time to remind all of you that since we are now doing this as a bi-weekly show, there might be things that come up, you know, in our off weeks. And so we have a YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/TaylorTalk13. And we're all just going to be posting videos if we have something to say.
Right. And in this case, Belle posted one about Sarah Jaxheimer telling you to lay off of her.
Yeah, I did.
So you should subscribe to see all those videos.
Yeah, because it's just the same thing as this, except for it's like little individual blurbs.
Yes, it's us on our own, which is far less funny, but it's okay.
I don't know, it depends on what we say, whether it's less funny or not. Adam can be pretty funny on his own sometimes.
Occasionally.
Well, if you say so.
We'll see if that happens in the future.
But we're kind of off topic. Like, the fact of the matter is, like, the point I wanted to get across with this Sarah Jaxheimer thing is that everybody should remember she's a private citizen just like any of us. She's not a public figure. So the fact of the matter is, she got thousands of Facebook friend requests within, like, an instant of Taylor mentioning her in the article. So, you know, just remember. Think about if it were you. So how funny was that part of the article, though, when Taylor was talking about a summer when there was a shark that washed up on their dock and she refused to go, like, swimming the rest of the summer?
And that's the year that she wrote that book that's been unpublished that we're all wondering what's inside.
Well, if you were 14 years old and you wrote a novel, would you really want to get published? Because I wouldn't.
If I was Taylor, I would.
If I was Taylor and I wrote a novel when I was 14, I would never want anyone to see it.
Okay,
because Taylor's I was 14.
Number one songs when she was 12.
I know, but a novel is a whole different thing.
It could be good. You never know.
Okay, I don't know. But, you know, that's, you know, her private little thing that she's keeping to herself, and I understand that.
The novel's irrelevant.
I think she's allowed to have those.
The novel's irrelevant. I just thought it was funny that a shark kept her inside all summer.
And then remember that Shark Week? Remember
she said she had a dream of that Grant was getting eaten by sharks or something? And she woke up to call him.
Poor Taylor is haunted by these sharks.
She is.
Wait, fill me in on this. What happened? She thought that Grant was being eaten by a
shark. She tweeted that she woke up from a dream that Grant was getting attacked by a shark, and she called him to tell him to not go to the beach so he didn't get eaten by sharks or something.
That's one of the funniest things I've ever heard. I wonder, did Grant actually not go to the beach as a result of that?
No, of course not.
I don't know if it was at the beach.
Well, I hope that if he went, he just didn't tell Taylor.
I think she was worried about him, and then he tweeted.
No, it was like a dream. Okay. Like she like woke up from a dream. Then she probably like, I think she said she like called and apologized the next morning. Just like sorry.
That's really funny.
I was having a dream.
So anyway, what about the photos included in the Vogue article?
I think they're gorgeous. She looks like a model. Not that she doesn't always look like a model, but like she looks like a fashion model.
I love that the agency was included in this.
That awesome.
Picture was amazing.
And Amos just laying there on the floor like,
like
a
hey,
boss.
What's up? I'm just chilling out here.
That picture was fantastic.
Yeah, I'm so happy they decided to do a picture with all of them.
I think that's just the type of person Taylor is, though. She would include them on that.
I'm just wondering where Meredith is, though.
And the caption on that picture with the band is, she's with the band.
So, I know it's terrible, but I seem to have lost my copy of Vogue, so I can't actually look at the pictures right now unless I go online on the website.
I have like 4 copies now, because the other day I got into a fight with my boss, and then he went out and brought me back a copy of Vogue as an apology.
Aw, that was nice of him.
I know, right?
I love how when it's listing the members of the band, it says Amos Heller on the floor.
Well, because like, you don't notice him at first. You're looking at the picture, you don't notice he's there, and then you're reading that, you're like, oh. And then, I mean, if you're a fan, you're like, of course Amos would be on the floor. Like, that's just what he does.
Lays on floors for Vogue photo shoots.
Well, no, he's just, you know, a little bit crazy. So.
Maybe he's also a little unwell.
See what you did there.
So yeah, the photos were unbelievable though. I like the colors in them a lot.
I really like the one when she was like talking on the phone.
Yeah.
I really like that one.
Yeah.
Did you notice her boots, how they were all like the exact same style but like different kinds?
Yeah, I think was she wearing all Rodart for the whole shoot? I think so.
I think she was.
She was wearing the same designer for the whole shoot, so they're probably all his shoes.
I thought she went to 2 different designers.
No, the designer she was visiting during the interview were just, like, she was just going, like, to designers just to see their collections for herself. That had nothing to do with the photo shoot. She was just going to their studios to see what they were doing for the new season. Because, you know, she's famous and she gets to do that. So she goes to their studio and she's like, I really like this. Then they'll, like, give it to her to wear.
Of course
will. Can I just go to, like, random studios from designers and be like, can I have that and that and that?
If you become an international superstar, then yeah, you can.
Do you know what I love about one of the pictures is that she actually posed with the containers that she carries her instruments in.
Yeah, that was really cool. And she posed with her guitars also.
But I just liked how like the cases and everything were in there.
Yeah.
It's just amazing when you think about like the photos that she did for Taylor Swift, her, you know, debut album, and when she was posing with her instruments and everything for those photos, and then you look at Vogue and you just see, wow, she's grown
so
up a lot.
So different, yeah. She really looks like a grown-up.
She is like one of the most talented people ever.
But I like that also the interviewer mentioned something about how, like, she was censoring herself when she was doing the Honey Badger reenactments, but that, like, she's mm-hmm. still that he can tell that she has this sense that, she, like, her fans don't want her to grow up yet. Like, even though she has, that, like, her fans don't want to see that yet, so she's still kind of keeping that to herself.
Yeah.
Although it seems she is changing little by little, but very, very tiny things.
That's how everybody changes, though, is gradually.
No, but I mean, she, you know, she's 22 years old, and she's still, you know, singing about princesses in high school, and, you know, I mean, she just changed her hair, but she hadn't in so long, and she still has this image that really hasn't changed at all since she was 16 years old.
I think the writer of the Vogue article actually touched on it in the sense that, well, she has grown up, maybe matured a little, her as a person has stayed the same. Like, they were talking specifically about when she was 16, how every interviewer would ask her about, oh, when you get older and start partying and stuff, and she would always say, you know, she wouldn't do that type of thing. And everyone's like, yeah, you say that now when you're 16. And now that she is, in fact, older, she's proven herself and doesn't get that question anymore. So
she hasn't changed.
Well, that was just an example. What I'm trying to get at is that at her core, she hasn't really changed as a person.
No, but she has grown up, and I think he was right. He said she is a lot edgier than she presents herself to be.
She may be edgier than her image suggests, but she is not Courtney Love. She has a deeply ingrained sense of appropriateness. She also knows her audience and knows that they aren't ready for her to grow up quite yet.
She's smart.
I would say nobody knows her audience more than she does.
It's amazing how she pays attention to individual people when she has millions of fans. It is amazing when you see her and she's like, oh, how are you doing? And she'll mention something about your past to you. And it's like, how in God's name do you remember that stuff?
Well, the writer of the article did say that she's smarter than the average bear.
She is. So.
She's smarter than the average genius, okay?
Yeah, she's smarter than the average rocket scientist.
Yeah, true. Definitely.
So, if Swifties rule the world, / you know you're a Swiftie when. All right, so the first one. You know you're a Swiftie when your grandma calls you every time Taylor's on TV. And that was submitted by Olivia via email.
You know you're a Swiftie when you know who Declan Whitebloom is.
Yay!
Declan.
We love you, Declan. You're awesome. And that was submitted by Gomezing Swiftie.
If Swifties ruled the world, Nashville would be overpopulated. And that was submitted by a Swiftie via email.
If Swifties ruled the world, the most daring gangster thing would be baking cookies at night.
You about clubbing, but I'd be baking cookies at night.
And that was submitted by @TaysLongLive13.
That one's funny.
I like it.
Number 5. If Swifties ruled the world, we would all be making snow globes and baking in our cozy trees like Keebler elves. And that was submitted by Beth via email.
You know you're a Swiftie when you watch the Speak Now live DVD along with glow sticks and posters. I would totally, like, rock out my glow stick while I'm watching that and just make an idiot out of myself at home and not care and just be happy.
I don't have glow sticks at home.
I do. I still have my Speak Now glow sticks.
Nice. So who submitted that one, Belle?
It was AngieBabyXX13.
All right. Thank you to all of our submissions. Remember, you can always submit those by tweeting us @TaylorTalk13 or emailing TaylorTalk@TaylorSwift13.org. So moving on to our second segment, we wanted to talk about the upcoming fourth album and what's going to be on it.
Dun, dun, dun.
So do you guys all have your own theories on some of the things we might see on the fourth album?
Absolutely.
Yes.
So what do you think is the most common theory right now going around the fandom?
Everyone wants to hear the song or songs about Jake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd say that's the most common. What do you think the probability is of it?
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
It was a breakup and it was a pretty public relationship, so there will probably be at least one.
I feel like it'll probably make me cry, though.
What did you say, Belle?
I feel like it'll probably make me cry, though, just like Dear John did.
Dear John made you cry? Aww.
It made me cry. I literally shed tears. I was, like, sniffling.
Dear John is really sad. That is, like,
it's painful stuff. And I seriously, like, even watching it in live concert and just watching her face.
Oh, I never wanted to watch. I would, like, look at other things. I would start, like, looking at other people around me or, like, at the band members or something. Like, It's mm-hmm. too much.
During Last Kiss and Dear John, during the live shows, I like would literally get teary-eyed just
thankfully,
watching her.
I was hey. Never anywhere near her for Last Kiss, so I couldn't even see her, so that was fine.
I was like always in the tree pit. It was crazy.
Dear John was my favorite for pyrotechnics, though.
Yeah, the end was insane, but the actual song is...
That was awesome. Yeah, the song is just so powerful and so sad, and it just... Oh, I can't talk about it anymore. I'm gonna start crying.
So you think whatever... This, we'll just, for the sake of this episode, call it Dear Jake. Jakey Breaky Heart? Done. So you think Jakey Breaky Heart's going to make you cry?
Yes, I do. Probably. I'm like scared about that.
So do you think it was a big enough relationship to warrant multiple songs about?
Then there was that post about her being really haunted by the relationship and that he totally just, like, played with her.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not a confirmed thing because it was, like, a source close to Taylor, quote-unquote, and who knows what that really means, but somebody said that that relationship really affected her, so...
Yeah, but there's always a source close to Taylor, and let me tell you, yeah. Like, I'm graduating in May with my degree in journalism, and something, a huge thing... Thank you. A repeated theme... in these classes in journalism that I've taken is do not trust an anonymous source.
Well, absolutely. That's common sense, isn't it?
Because the anonymous source could be Jensita. Like, you know.
You caught me, Adam.
They could be like a source close to Taylor and they could be talking about a super fan. I would take that with a grain of salt, to be honest.
I did hear he was very controlling.
I've heard that too. So in the Vogue article, there was the quote, there's just been this earth-shattering, not recent, but absolute crash-and-burn heartbreak, she says. And that will turn out to be what the next album is about. The only way I can feel better about myself, pull myself out of that awful pain of losing someone, is writing songs about it to get some sort of clarity.
Maybe she's gonna pull an Adele and, like, write an entire album about one guy.
You know what? Like, I completely 100% understand what she's talking about. Because... when you have all this negativity around you, all this sadness, all these questions that you don't know how to find the answers to. So like, and it does really help to take something negative and turn it into something positive and productive for yourself. And it really does help pull you out of situations. And I like think that she is brilliant for realizing that, brilliant for saying that, and brilliant for suggesting that other people should do the same. And I don't mean her telling people, everybody else, that they should write songs, but her telling people, you know, whether it's directly or indirectly, to find their passion and to use that and to use every negative thing in their life and use it to turn it into something positive in their life.
And I think that Taylor's actually, because you know how she says she likes for her albums to have themes. Obviously, the whole theme of the album isn't going to be sad and depressing. I think it's literally going to take us through a relationship and through the happy and the joyous moments and the insecurities and then, you know, the pulling away and then the hurt and the heartbreak and then the getting over, as she said, this is about moving on. And then what's happened after she's moved on and maybe even future things to look forward to. So I think it's really going to be like a roller coaster type of emotions, because obviously if you're planning like a tour for the next album, you're not going to want to be singing sad, depressing songs the whole time that make you want to cry.
I mean, I don't know. Adele does that and she's been doing just fine.
Through that.
I have my own theories about this fourth album.
Let's hear them.
And I don't care if you guys agree or not.
Probably won't.
thanks, Maya.
You're welcome.
So I recently wrote my third editorial on what the fourth album is going to be about. Speculation, of course. I don't know anything more than you guys know. You know, and it's on the website on taylorswift13.org. But I think there's going to be some songs with a historical theme to them. I don't think it's all going to be the lovey-dovey stuff that we've seen in the past, because...
I mean, she wrote a song about the Kennedys, but I don't know that that means it's going to end up on her album.
It may or may not, but you know she's writing about it then. But she did, like you said, reveal to ABC's Peter Travers that... Or, sorry, she didn't reveal. Rory Kennedy told him that Taylor wrote a song about the Kennedy family. So, I mean, that's an incredibly historical family in U.S. history for those out of the country that aren't or maybe less than familiar with the Kennedy family. And what's interesting is I'm re-looking at the quote on Vogue, again, talking about there's been an earth-shattering, not recent, but absolute crash and burn heartbreak. And anyone familiar with the Kennedys knows there's been 2 assassinations, a handful of accidental deaths, just all kinds of tragedy has struck that family. So maybe this absolute crash and burn heartbreak is referring to death when someone you love dies.
I mean, she did have that friend that died.
Did she?
Like, heartbreak and mourning are 2 very different things, in my opinion. I don't know. And in the sentence right after that,
unless
she says,
someone you love
the only
dies.
Way I can feel better about myself. So I think she's this heartbreak that she's referring to happened to her, and, like, just it happened, you know, a little while ago.
Yeah.
But that's not to say there's not multiple themes on the album. Cool. Because not every single song is about love, is it?
No.
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, with a couple of exceptions.
She has, like, Never Grow Up and The Best Day.
Okay, so with, like, 3 or 4 exceptions.
Yeah, so there could be an exception or two. I think, there I don't know, be. I just know that, I just know that Grant would be, I just know that Grant would be very proud if Taylor had a historical thing on
He would. He has.
Grant would be, like, so ridiculously excited. I'm going to see Grant's face when, like, they're performing that live on the next tour.
And more specifically,
yes!
Aside from her obsession...
She's going to write a song about Abe Lincoln.
Yeah, I was going to say, aside from her obsession with the Kennedy family, she also was quoted in a Rolling Stone article back in August about buying a book about Lincoln as well.
Or Lincoln's cabinet specifically. She's been reading a lot of historical things lately, it seems like. Like she said, she read a whole ton of books about the Kennedys.
With the exception of Cuddly Kittens.
Right. Yeah, so I don't think I'm totally off base thinking that there may be a song or two with a historical theme on her album.
Well, we'll see.
I mean, do you guys really think I'm completely off base on this?
Yes.
No.
Why?
A song or two. I mean, I'm not going to say the whole album.
No. Like, banter with me. Debate with me for a sec. Like, why do you think I'm totally off base?
I don't know. It just... I mean, I don't think you're totally off base. It just seems like the way that... I mean, I don't remember the article, but the way that she talked about the song that she wrote about the Kennedys, it just seemed like something... Not that everything for her isn't very personal, her songs, but it just seemed like something that she did for herself. Like, I don't know how, like, a while ago, back at the beginning of the tour, she told some fans that she wrote this song at, like, 3 in the morning called If Kisses Were Wishes. And, like, that's not ending up on an album. Like, you know, I think it, I mean, I don't know. And if it is going to be an album about a heartbreak, I think that a song about the Kennedy family would interrupt it. It would, like, not mesh somehow.
But who says the album has to have a consistent theme throughout every single song?
All of her albums have themes. And she's said that this one is going to have a consistent theme, just like all of the other ones. All
right, fair point.
We won't know until she creates the genius masterpieces that is her next album.
I think it's probably mostly already created.
Right. I know, I'm saying we won't find out until...
Until October. Or she'll probably start releasing singles before that, maybe.
So here's the million-dollar question, then. If... It is, in fact, about love and heartbreak and whatever again. That's something we've heard before from her. So what makes this album so different, where she's quoted as saying it's different? Scott Borchetta is quoted as saying it's different. What's making it different?
I have actually a good thought on that. Is I was reading about Picture to Burn today, since today was the 4-year anniversary of it coming out. And she talks about how when she wrote that song, it wasn't about an actual relationship, but it was about, you know, someone she had a crush on. And she was talking about those anger feelings that you feel after something happens to you, you know, where a relationship or something, you know, doesn't go your way. And she was asked if she regrets writing that because, you know, it's a song about, like, you know, burning pictures and hating people and those sort of things. And she said no, because it was, like, about her diary at the time. And, you know, that's like a normal emotion people go through. But now she's matured and her experiences in love are so much different that her feelings and her thought process and how she handles them are so much different. So I think it's the same type of thing. Like, even though you're kind of going through similar things, you've learned so much from other things that something that seems so big when you're 16 seems like something so little compared to what... the kind of things that you have to go through now and the things that you're experiencing now. The experiences are so much greater and bigger that, you know, the thinking is different. And so that's why I think her songs are going to be a lot more mature and have a lot more deeper meaning to them that some people probably aren't going to really understand if they haven't been through some of them.
I'd say that's a possibility. I was thinking as well, maybe some of the differences might be in musical style, too. Maybe she's changed her style of a bit. Maybe it's not just the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
No, I have an interesting theory on that too. It's like, you know, between Speak Now and Now, she's like had that Mix Me Into app, but she's like put in a video of herself playing on her iPad with it, you know?
I love that
and, like,
video.
Putting all of her own songs and all these different styles. And so maybe she's incorporated that process into this album and
saying,
made her songs
why am I not an
style.
Urban artist?
Well, just putting a little urban touch on a song, maybe, and then a little bit of a you know, maybe a little bit more of a rock touch on another song than she might have originally done. Just, like, taking that theory and incorporating that subtly into her new original music.
I was thinking more of a vintage style, because, like, again, quoting that Rolling Stones article back in August, she's been listening to, like, the Beach Boys and the Shirelles and, like, these bands from, like, the 50s and 60s, and she has been really into them.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, she could be getting maybe, like, more folky or, yeah, sort of more getting more of, like, a vintage feel. It's possible.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if that's what they're referring to when they say this album will be different from the previous ones, is the actual sound of it, not necessarily the theme.
I mean, I think it's both are going to be different. I think the theme of it is going to be different than anything before. I think the sound will probably be different, too.
Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, her voice is always, her singing style is always changing, too, so I think that even that could be different. The way that she's singing on the album.
I'm just really excited for this album.
Me too.
As I'm always excited for Music Big Taylor, but just because of all this discussion and because of all these questions and all these theories, it's just going to be so interesting to finally actually get to hear the final product. So, is it October yet?
Not quite. It's still January.
It's getting there.
Well, it'll probably be February by the time you all listen to this, though.
But every day we're getting a little bit closer.
Every day is closer. It is. So.
I kind of hope she does that thing where she did with Speak Now, where she releases one song a week as like a countdown to the album.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they'll do something to build up the hype.
I loved getting those singles. That was so exciting.
That was really
awesome. I remember I would like download them in the morning and I'd be like running to class with my iPod and I was like trying to listen to the song before I had to go to class. It was fun.
Just listen to it in class.
And then I stayed up until midnight to get the album and my roommate was like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, I'm sorry, this is important. I stayed up and got it and listened through the whole thing before I went to bed. Fun times.
Yeah, I did the same thing, actually.
Yeah, so if you guys have any thoughts of your own on the fourth album or any comments or criticisms on what we had to say, email them in to taylortalk@taylorswift13.org and tell us what you think. Belle, if you could introduce us to our new mini segment, that'd be fantastic.
Well, like I was just going to say, Adam, because we're talking about all these different possible music styles and everything, it sort of gave us the idea for a new mini-segment. So, it's called What Are Swifties Listening To? And basically, we just want to introduce you guys to new music and have you guys introduce us to new music.
It's basically our own imitation of what Taylor does with her cover songs on tour. It's an ability to introduce you guys to music you might not be familiar with otherwise.
There's this artist that I've been kind of obsessed with for a couple of years, and she has amazing, amazing songs, and she's really eclectic and really original, and it's just a shame that not many people have heard of her other than her basic fan base, because her voice is just phenomenal, and her lyrics remind me of Taylor's, like her style isn't like Taylor's, but her lyrics remind me of Taylor's, because she writes really, really honestly, and really just puts out exactly what she's thinking and feeling, and I think that if you like Taylor, even if you aren't familiar with this new artist's style of music, I think that you'd appreciate her songs, and you should look her up. You can look her up on YouTube, on Reverb Nation, or anything else, and her name is Charlotte Martin. And if you're looking for, like, a specific song to listen to first, I would go for Every Time It Rains or Veins. Those are two of her absolute best songs, and she is just amazing. I could fall asleep listening to her voice at any time. And she also has an amazing, amazing cover of Wild Horses. I know a lot of people have covered that song, but her voice is just phenomenal.
All right, Belle, thanks for introducing us to Charlotte Martin. If you guys have anybody that has been on repeat on your iPod, send it in to us. Again, taylortalk@taylorswift13.org or tweet us at taylortalk13. Let us know who that artist is so we can introduce them to the rest of the community. What would Taylor do? Who wants to read it?
This week's What Would Taylor Do was submitted by Swiftified Jest, and she said, what would Taylor do if her cell phone stopped working and she was stuck in the middle of nowhere?
That's a good question. That's a good what would Taylor do. I don't know, because that's, like, baffling. I mean, would she try to walk to a gas station? Or would she just, like, sit in her car and hope somebody drives by to help her?
Are we talking middle of nowhere like she's on a road trip and her car breaks down?
Well, like, when she said middle of nowhere, I'm thinking, like, late at night in the middle of a freaking cornfield. That's, like, what came into my mind.
Oh, that has happened to me before.
Like maybe like the set of the Tim McGraw video, but without the other person.
Yeah, like that.
I think she would, honestly, if I want to go with a serious reaction, I think she would panic if she was by herself. This question doesn't say she's by herself, though, or not, whether she's by herself or not.
I mean, I think it implies stuck in the middle of nowhere without her cell phone. I think it implies by herself. Because if there are other people around with cell phones, obviously she could just use theirs. So
that's a good point.
That wouldn't be any
What if they didn't have what if they didn't have cell phones?
Okay, if they don't have cell phones and she doesn't have cell phones, then it's been like 1980, okay?
Yeah. She was not alive. So
and this what would Taylor do says nothing about it they being transported into the past, okay? They're not driving a DeLorean.
Yeah. 88 miles per hour.
Right, Scott.
This is a tough question.
It is a tough question. Here's the question. Does Taylor know anything about technology? Could she, like, make an antenna out of anything in the car? I couldn't. I can tell you that right now.
No, me neither. I think she would jump up and down in the middle of the road and be like, stop! It's me, Taylor Swift! Someone pick me up!
I think she'd just start crying and be like, help!
Help
I feel like
me!
She is not oh, wait, the type to say, it's me, Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I don't
she doesn't do that. She
it
says,
sarcasm,
hi, I'm Taylor.
Maya. It was sarcasm.
Hi, I'm Taylor.
All right.
Does she have instruments with her?
Ooh, good question.
If she could just throw her own little, like, one-person jam.
If she was stranded on her own, I don't think that singing songs would be the first thing on her mind.
Well, it is what comforts her, isn't it? Writing songs gives her clarity.
But so
maybe, like,
giving her... I don't think she needs clarity when she's stranded alone in a cornfield.
Well, okay, let's also hope that this is not on the set of Supernatural or Children of the Corn.
Right, yeah. Let's not put her in a horror movie.
Actually, I think she'd be really good in a horror movie. Okay, anyway, on the point.
Anyways,
thank you, Belle.
We're getting off
I'd say, yeah, I'd say this was probably one of the better What Would Taylor Do's. I think we're stumped.
Yeah, I mean, my opinion is that, like, if we were talking about the true in the middle of nowhere, aka the cornfield, I mean, I would think she would try to think of how far back she saw a gas station. Like, could she possibly walk there herself? You know, that would be like, if we're being completely serious, that would be the first thing that I think would probably go through her mind is, crap, what was the last place I saw where there was some type of civilization? A store, a gas station, anything that had another human being involved in it.
What if while she was in the cornfield, she got abducted by aliens?
Oh, geez. What did we just say about Supernatural and Children of the Corn? Now we're going to add aliens, too?
Well, these are all the things that happen in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, but... We didn't.
I stumped Belle now.
Okay, I think we've about run out of things to talk about.
So, thank you to Swiftify Jess for submitting that. You absolutely stumped us. So,
yeah. We were baffled and mumbling.
Nicely done. You made Belle mumble. So, before we go, just a quick reminder, visit taylortalk.org to fill out that survey and enter for a chance to win beautiful eyes. So for Taylor Talk Episode 9, this has been Adam,
Belle,
Jensita,
and Maya.
Saying have a great, 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 great day, guys.
Now Adam's mumbling.
No, now I'm stuttering, and that was completely on accident.
Great.
A great and virtual hand hearts.
You're like Tony the Tiger.
Virtual hand hearts.
Virtual hand hearts.
Hand hearts. Bye.
Virtual
hand hearts. We love you all.
Bye.
We are in no way directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.